childish to think like a child, to understand like a child, and to speak like a child. So he said, when you became a man, I put away childish things. What? Thinking, understanding, speaking like a child. So simple. It's right there in the scripture. But they want to make it so different. And what they do is they put a burden on you that you cannot handle. And then one day you see someone who did kick drugs or did kick this or that, and you say, well, God doesn't love me because it worked for them. Or maybe there's something wrong with me. I'm just no good. And you've got it all wrong and all backwards. This message ought to free you. There's nothing in the world wrong with you except the way you think. And man, it don't cost nothing to think different. In fact, it costs nothing to think. And even if it did cost something to think, why should you worry? You never think. It won't cost you a thing. Even if they were charging it, it wouldn't bother you. Because you feel your way through life. You don't want to be a servant anymore. I wish I could have gotten to the Lord of all, but you'll know. And then tonight I'm going to show you how. When I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spake as a child. That's the killer. I'm going to show you how to put away childish things. I'm going to show you how to be the Lord of all. And I'm going to tell you it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to change any actions. You don't have to pay anything. All I'm asking you to do is think and speak and understand different. That'll cause the changes. But this you can do, the other you cannot. And I'm going to tell you, you didn't get into it by your body. You got in by your mind. So you're not going to get out by your body. You're going to come out by your mind. But really God is saying, look, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset. There's nothing wrong with you because you haven't been able to this point. You just were taught wrong. You weren't taught how you got in. You were not taught how to get out. Now comes the acid test. All this time as a baby, you're saying, I can't. I don't know how. Well, now that you know how and you can, let's see. Let's see if you consciously choose to remain a child. And if you do, there's nothing more I can do. Preach your funeral about the best I can. I'll give you a good message. We'll send you off right. Doesn't matter to me. Another child will take your place anyway. It's one thing there is not lacking in this world. There's more than enough to go around. Brother Weldon, would you close the service in prayer? I thank you for all your blessings. I thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that you've given. Father, I ask now and receive on behalf of myself and everyone here the ability to hear, use, and enjoy, and share all of this truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're studying again Jesus now in the temple, and the first thing he did was he started casting and cleaning house and throwing out some things. We are now studying the money changer. This is the protectress, the female protectress, who tries to change what God has given you, the wisdom and the knowledge, and somehow change it so that you can use it or spend it right where you're at without ever having to change. I can always tell money changer mentality, an individual that's been eating wrong all their life, now has been told this is the diet that God has given. And they say, oh, but if I pray over it in God's grace, I can still eat junk and get away with it. Sooner or later, that individual will have a man in a white coat tell them, you are sick and you can't eat that anymore. And where's the money changer then? Now in Galatians 4:1, we're talking about the fact that only the children need a protectress. Galatians 4:1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. See, God already said, you're Lord of all. God already said, you're in charge of that family. Why is it you keep trying to beat your wife down into submission when God already gave her the position? The problem is, you're trying to make your wife be in submission to a child. You. Now remember what the word child meant. It meant a retard, a minor, someone who's always slowing or delaying the advance or the progress. Someone who just doesn't want to get better. Or rather, let me put it this way. They don't want to get different. They want to get better. They just don't want to get different. If somehow you could figure out a way to stay the same, change everybody around you, and then be happy. But it just doesn't work that way. So what happens, you spend all of your life finding what's wrong with everyone else so that you don't have to deal with what's wrong with you. Of course, we know there's nothing wrong with you. Now, he says, this retard differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And remember, servant meant a slave, someone that does things they don't really want to do, and in ways that they don't want to do them, by the way. So if you are controlled by what your wife says or does, if your children acting a certain way can make you happy or sad or angry, then you're a slave to your children. If your wife acting or saying or doing or me or anybody acting a certain way affects you in a way that you don't want to be affected, I don't want to be mad, I don't want to be sad, I don't want to be this, but you are anyway, then you're my slave. Then you're a slave to your wife, you're a slave to your children, and then you end up being a slave to yourself, and you start doing things you don't want to do about yourself also. You're listening. See, I throw those in every now and then to see if you're going to catch. Galatians 4:1, now I see that the heir, as long as he is a retard, differeth nothing from a slave, from a rude, obnoxious, overbearing, boot-stomping Hitler, Heil Hitler mentality individual, though he be Lord of all. You see, you do not get things into subjection like Noriega did. Look what happened to that man down there. We'll send the troops after you. You're coming out of there, chump. God is not going to have you being a dictator over what he died and paid for. We're coming to get you. Now, he said, you differ nothing from a servant, though you be Lord of all. Now, if you're an heir, you're a lord. But if you're a child, you're a slave. If you're an heir, you're a lord. If you're a retard, you're a slave. Now, if you're not a lord, then you're not an heir. If you're not an heir, then you're a slave. And if you're a slave, then you're a retard. That's all the leeway we have in this scripture. Now, let's see if you are a lord. Family unity under God really could be totally summed up in this word, lord. It means, it has basically five definitions. Supreme in authority, which is obviously God the Father, the head of the house. It means master, Jesus Christ, the Son, who the Father has given all power and authority to. It means mastery, which is the Holy Spirit of God, by which we have the master. Now, after supreme in authority, which is God the Father, everybody said amen. I heard you. And when I said master, Jesus Christ, the Son, everybody said amen. I heard you there too. And mastery, the Holy Spirit of God, everybody said amen. You know what comes now? Mister. Mm-hmm. And the last part of the definition is dominion. So here's what you need to be in the family of God and have all the authority. You need the supreme in authority, the Father, the Master, Jesus Christ, mastery, the Holy Spirit, and Mister, the man. And then you have dominion. Now understand how this works. The Mister is the pastor. The Mister is a husband. And the Mister is a brother. The Mister is also a father. But see, that leaves wife and children out of the family, and that just won't do. So let's go back and see if I can fit myself into the family. Pastor, husband, brother, father, wife, and child. If I can fit in there, maybe you can. First of all, I am a pastor. Secondly, I am a husband. Thirdly, I am a brother. Fourthly, I am a father. How am I going to work this wife thing in? What's he going to do now? The bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Amen. The church is the wife. And I happen to be a member of the church. So I'm a wife. So I found a way to include myself in the part that normally we think was just for women. Now that leaves the children. Are they out? No, I'm a child too. I'm a child of God the Father. So I'm a pastor, a husband, a brother, a father, a wife, and a child. Now one would say, well, that works fine for you, but what about the women and children? Because this certainly would cover men. Well, if you want the dominion and the mastery and the family unity, we have to find a way to make you a pastor, a husband, a brother, a father, a wife, and a child, just like me. Now, assuming that your husband is these things, let's assume that your husband grows up and becomes a man and says, I'm going to pastor this family. Doesn't mean you're going to preach. It doesn't mean you're going to start your own church. Pastor means to feed, not only physically, but spiritually. I'm going to pastor this family. I'm going to be a husband to this family. I'm going to be a brother. I'm going to be a father. And I am a wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm a child of God. Well, how does your wife participate in that? You and your husband are one. See, the minute, ladies, that you declare your independence in any area, you come out of the family of God. The minute you say, I don't agree and I'm not going to do it this way, you're out. But men, that isn't where the problem started. The minute you said, I don't agree, I'm not going to do it the way I've been preached to, then you're out. So you see, wife, if you and your husband are one, then you participate in all this, assuming your husband and I are one, assuming the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all of these people, if I'm one with them. So you see, this family unity, we got to be a close-knit group. And it works. You have dominion. So what God wants for you is to be the Lord, because you're the heir. Now the word heir means you inherited. That woman didn't marry you because of your good looks. If that were the case, you would be all alone, and you and I both know that. She was given to you. Now she wasn't given to you for you to grind her under your heel. God says, I'm going to loan you this person. I'm going to loan you my daughter here. I'm going to loan you this woman. And she's going to take care of your needs, and you're going to take care of her. And immediately you grow a little black mustache, and you go out and buy some black boots. And the wife and children have to march in front of you every morning and do one of these. Hire a retard. You see, the fact of the matter is, if you were the Lord, if you were the heir, you don't have to go around telling anybody. I don't have to, and I don't. But you do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. And when you're sick and tired of your way, you'll come and ask. If God can't make me the Lord, then I have no business. If God can't give you the desire to ask me and to respect me as I respect you, then how am I going to force you to? See, the fact of the matter is, if you were under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he had made you Lord, your wife and your children would have no problem following you whatsoever. But you try to make yourself Lord over what belongs to God, by the way. And it's very difficult for anybody to follow a retard. And a retard is an individual that just will not live in the present. You want things to be, you want to be the way you were in the past, but you want everybody else to change. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get your wish. They're going to change and you're not, and your marriage is going to end. There's one thing a child of God cannot do, and that is be led by a retard. It just can't happen. So now we are hearing here that even though you're the Lord of all, the fact of the matter is, you're just like a child. And children, when they don't get their way, get mad and scream and pout and get upset, just like you do. Now, Galatians 4:2 will tell you what's going to happen to this individual. He said, even though you're Lord of all, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That word Father is not in capitals, so that's not talking about the Heavenly Father only. In other words, what that is saying is I've given you someone who is going to decide when you've grown up. Now, you convince me you've grown up. I know a retard when I see one. I graduated from that school. I've taught in that school. I've gone back through that course many times. I have diplomas from the School of Retardation. I know what a retard is. I recognize them a mile away. So you see, what it really boils down to, the Lord has given me authority not to decide when, but to recognize when. I don't decide when you're going to get blessed, but I recognize when you've grown to the point that you should. But in the meantime, you're under tutors and governors. The word tutors comes from a Greek word that means a guardian. And a guardian is always someone who's appointed over a retard, someone who can't take care of themselves. Guardian is a person legally placed in charge of the affairs of a minor or of someone incapable of managing his own affairs. Well, now, who is this guardian? This mother, wife, or child that treats you like you're incapable of managing your own affairs. See, they don't see you as being legally competent. So the tutors that you're under people who are placed in a position where they think they know more than you do. Children who will treat a wife, a mother, like if she's some kind of a retard, and will go right around her, won't even listen to her. And then we'll end up playing the father against the mother and the mother against the father, and they're sitting there and treating you both like if they're your guardians. Well, what is the problem? Why can't you and your wife resolve your conflicts? Because you're under guardians. They decide for you. And why is it that you cannot resolve your conflict with the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're under guardians. You're not full grown. I want you to grow up and learn how to manage your own affairs. And others want to manage them for you. Listen, let's get something straight. I do not manage your affairs. I teach you how to mind your own affairs. But I'm not going to do it for you. You're used to people doing it for you. So you see, the problem is that you left one environment, you got married, and now you want someone else to do your business for you. For two reasons. Number one, you're lazy. And number two, when she messes it up, you can blame her. Because if you took control, then we'd know if you're a retard or not. Now, you don't want to do that. See, that exposes you. Let's let her rule. And then when she messes up, we'll criticize her. So you see, this individual, although he's the Lord of the house, is under tutors. He's under guardians. People that look at him as incapable of managing his own affairs. Now, why would the children and the wife look at you as incapable of managing your own affairs? Because you do. This individual is also under governors. Now understand this, the tutor, the guardian, is the one that takes care of your physical. You can't do anything. Nobody agrees with you. You have to fight to accomplish everything. You couldn't convince your children and your wife to do something on your best day. You have to fight and beat them into it. But you're also under governors. Governor means a house manager, a fiscal agent, a treasurer, a preacher of the gospel. Now, let's look at what we said here. You're under tutors and governors. Now, God uses the preacher, me, to bring you spiritual blessings. To bring you spiritual blessings into your life. I'm the one that's supposed to look into the book and tell you what's right. I'm supposed to look at you and talk with you and tell you what's wrong. I am the one who God uses to bring you the spiritual blessings. So I should be the governor. And then God uses you. There's a place to you, and God says, well, now I want to use Reuben to bring you the spiritual blessings, and I want to use you to bring the physical blessings. In other words, Reuben will give you the truth, put up with your insults, your dirty looks, and your kids as well. Take the dirty end, that will be spiritual blessings. But now he says, now, man, I want to use you for the physical blessings. Have money, have health, have respect, have the love of your wife, have the obedience of your wife, have the obedience of your children, enjoy your work, have a nice car, enjoy your life, have a good day. Those are all the physical blessings. Now that's the way God set it up. But what do? You reverse the positions. And you appoint yourself as the spiritual manager. I want to decide what's right and wrong, woman. Okay, now you got it backwards. Now God says, I still got to send some physical blessings. Well, Ruth, what are we going to do? I don't know, Lord. He wants to take over. Well, then you take care of the physical blessings. Now, what happens then? Then whatever is necessary, which should have been coming through you, is now held in storage with me. Because you decided you didn't want to take the physical blessing. You want to be the spiritual. You want to be the one God uses to bring physical. Now, he's bringing two things into the family. He wants an agent, a vessel, to bring the spiritual blessings in. Which gets nothing back at that level. All it brings is reward from God, which is more than reward enough. More than enough. But he appoints me to do that because I need nothing from your wife and your children. But you do. But now the minute you reverse this position and you become the spiritual authority, and there's nothing wrong with you, you're always right, and everybody around you is wrong, then where do your physical blessings go? They're held in storage. Now your wife can't get the physical blessings. Your children can't enjoy the physical blessings because you were supposed to be the agent by whom they came. And they're being held in storage. Well, sooner or later, someone will come along that'll promise her physical blessings, and you might as well wave bye-bye to her. And you're the one that put her in that position, by the way. Now understand, your wife and your children respect and obey me, not you. In other words, they treat me like if I'm you. They respect and obey me. Now they ought to respect and obey both of us, don't misunderstand. But they certainly should not respect and obey just me. They ought to respect and obey both of us. So now that you've given me your job, and they do it, they respect and they obey me. Your job now is to teach them spiritual correction. Now you get what I get, or should get. Now your wife won't talk to you unless she has no choice. Or she'll call for counseling when all else fails. And she'll only think of me and your children and all of you. You'll only think when you just simply cannot do it anymore and you've messed it up every way that there is. Then you'll call the pastor. But since you've reversed the positions, that's now your job. And I get all the blessings that were reserved for you. Now your wife treats you like if you were me. She doesn't want to be around. She doesn't want to talk unless there's absolutely no other way. So what have you done? You've taken God's order and reversed it and put it upside down and backwards. Now you are constantly correcting, criticizing, preaching, and trying to change what's wrong. You don't have the qualifications, but you took the job anyway. And all the physical blessings, see, your job is for me to catch all that heat and to correct all that, and your job is just to enjoy it, receive it, and share it with your family. You don't want to do that, though. So you're under tutors and governors, which isn't bad by itself, except that it's reversed. Now, what's the problem? That's the problem. Now, how are you going to grow up? How do we get out of this thing? Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:11. I wouldn't leave you in the position that you're now in. Not voluntarily, anyway. Why is it that you're a child? Why are you a retard? Because as long as you are a child, you're going to be a servant, even though you're Lord of all. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, as I said this morning, most people preach that to you and say, you should put your toys away and grow up. Go out and get a good job and put away your child. It's not what it says. Now, I'm in agreement you should put away childish things, but God is very specific here. He says the childish things you will put away when you become a man is you'll quit thinking like a child, understanding like a child, and speaking like a child. That's the change that will happen. Now, the first thing you'll do, see, we're going to take this in reverse. He said you don't speak as a child because you don't understand as a child. Or because you do understand as a child, and you understand as a child because you think as a child. Now, here we have a perfect description of a retard. All you have to do is get up in the morning and shave that ugly face of yours, and just the hair ought to tell you, I'm not a child. But you see, you are still handling things like you did as a child. So what does that tell you? That tells you that you are still thinking as a child. Now, let's find out what the end result. The end result is to speak like a child. Let's see if you speak like a child. This word spake, and this is the way you handle conflicts in your home. This is the way you handle disagreements like a child. You speak as a child. Speak means to talk and to utter words. That's no big revelation. But it also means from the Greek an extended harangue. In other words, he says, you harangue. See, adults speak and discuss and communicate. Children harangue. Now, what does harangue mean? It has two definitions. It means a sight for horse races and public assemblies. Circles. Because the next definition of harangue, it means a sight for horse races or public assemblies or a circle. Now the last part of the definition means a long, blustering, noisy, or scolding speech that basically goes in circles. The child says, I don't know. Then they'll go through, I forgot, she didn't say, I meant to, I did, she did, I didn't, and then the end result, when it's all over, I don't know. So what else? See, this child just talks in circles, just like you do. You can never pin them down to anything. It begins, I'm not to blame. You can go around the mulberry bush, up and down the Honey Lane and down in the Candy Lane and up in here and all these other lanes. But the end result is when you get back from this circle is I'm not to blame. And I can counsel with people like that till I'm purple. We start out with you not being to blame. It doesn't matter if I catch your fingerprints on the knife. You have a gun in your back pocket. We have a Polaroid picture. You still didn't do it. So we end up back at the same place that we started. That's an individual who speaks as a child. It's a long speech. It's blustering and noisy and even scolding. See, whenever you get to scolding someone, it's because you're wrong. If you had reasons, you could give the reasons. But instead, you harangue. Well, why do you talk that way? Why do you talk as a child? Because you understand as a child. Understand or understood from the Greek means to be mentally disposed in a certain direction. Now, what is the mental disposition or the direction of the mental disposition of a child? I want what I want, when I want it, and I want it to be free. Anything that does not agree with that is not going to fly with a child. See, so they're mentally disposed in a certain direction. Well, what happens when the child happens to be a full-grown man? His mind's already made up. I'm right. Ain't nothing you can say, nothing you can do, nothing is going to change. Why? Because he understands as a child. He's mentally disposed in a certain direction. Now, ladies, if this shoe fits, you wear it too. It means to be mentally disposed in a certain direction. It means to be mentally disposed or predisposed to have your mind made up. A child's mind is always made up. They're right. And that's all there is to it. And anything that doesn't end up with them agreeing or you agreeing with them that they're right is going to be trouble. Understand or understood also means to interest oneself in mentally. To set the affection on. To be of the same mind. You see, this is mean to interest oneself in childish things, to set the affection on childish things, to be of the same mind as a child. Now, all you have to do is go back in your childhood to how you were then, and that's how you are now. Now, you don't see it because you shave now. You think you grew up because you shave. You just got uglier, that's all. You haven't changed. Understood also means to be carnally minded. Children are carnally minded. If it hurts, they won't do it. If it causes any kind of exertion, they don't want to do it. See, their body has to be in agreement. And the minute you tell them to do something that's going to take any energy at all, they say, I can't. See, because their body doesn't want to. But then you tell them to do something they want to do. And they could run a 4-minute mile in 3 minutes. Well, why? They're carnally minded. You always have the energy to do what you want to do. But the minute the family wants to do something you don't want to do, no go. Then you start coming up with every kind of excuse there is why it shouldn't be done. When it's something your flesh and your body wants to do, that's different. Well, why do you understand as a child? Because you think as a child. It says, I thought as a child. That's why I understood as a child. And that's why I spoke as a child. Now, to think, the word thought means to reason or to suppose as a child. To take an inventory as a child does. To estimate or conclude as a child does. In other words, you think like a child. Now, let me tell you how a child thinks. The word reason, you reason like a child. The word reason means an explanation of an act. Whatever you do, you have an explanation like a child. Reason means to support or justify something with a reason. So you have reasons But they're childlike. Now, how does a child reason? You tell them something, they say, huh? In other words, the first thing they try to give you is that blank look, like, don't even talk to me about it, I don't understand. And then you explain it to them, they say, I don't know. Did you hear me? Yes. Why didn't you do it? I don't know. Then they'll justify, well, why did you hit your brother? Huh? Why did you hit your brother? I don't know. Why did you? He started it. No one asked you if he started. Why did you hit him? I didn't do it. The kid's lip is hanging down, his two teeth on the carpet. He's got the stick in his hand yet. He said, I didn't do it. Then you will say, well, here's the stick, and there's the blood, and there's the teeth. I didn't mean to. Well, why didn't you tell me the truth in the first? I forgot. And then comes the last reason to justify as a child. I love you, Mommy. Or honey. Or sweetheart. That's always your last way. But I love you. You lying crock. You love you. You don't love her. But see, the problem is now you not only reason as a child, but it also means to estimate as a child. Estimate means to have an opinion or a judgment, but you do it like a child. So now what is your estimate of this whole situation? Huh? Well, why do you see what's wrong with what you did? Huh? Don't you understand that I don't want you and your brother fighting? I don't know. But I want you to understand that it's wrong to fight. You could hurt him. You could put his eye on. He started it. Can you see we're still having, see how we go in circles? It doesn't matter what it is. He's got a stock set of answers. But husbands, isn't that what you do? You started it. You're the one that did this. You're the one that did that. Now, once you ask him for his opinion and the evidence is there, he says he didn't do it. Then when it becomes impossible to deny it anymore, he says, I didn't mean to. And then, of course, amnesia sets in and he forgot. Well, about that time you reach for the belt or you point to the corner and something mystical happens at that point. Cupid jumps out and shoots your child with a love arrow. And now they love you. Oh, Mommy, I love you so much. They don't love you. They're the biggest liars on the face of this earth. But the reason that they're liars is you let their lies work for them. And the minute you see that sickly, constipated look on their face, which you think is love, your heart melts, and you say, oh, sweetheart, please, just promise, don't ever do it again. Yes, Mommy, stupid. I can remember when I have to sit and say, boy, my mom is so dumb. Do anything. But she thought I loved her, and I respect her, but she taught me not to. She let me get away with murder. She bought me the gun. And the last thing, see, a child, remember how the child started their reasoning, huh? I don't know, and always ends up with, I love you. Now, it says, the problem is you reason as a child, and then after it's all, now, notice this is a harangue. We're going to end up right the way we started. He says, now, you conclude as a child. Conclude means to bring something to a close, to finish it, to settle, to come to an agreement. Why did you hit your brother? Huh? You hit your brother. He's dying. I'm calling the paramedics. I don't know. He started it. I didn't do it. I didn't mean to. I forgot, and I love you. But that's the way it began. You see, the fact of the matter is, you haven't accomplished a thing with this individual. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be this scenario. Maybe this individual agrees with everything until it comes time to do it. And then they come up with 8 zillion different reasons why they couldn't do it. But the end result is always the same. The conclusion is always the same. They didn't do it. Now, what's the conclusion with the child all the time? They don't want to do it. So when you as a man get out of it the same way, she started, it's not my fault, I forgot, I didn't mean to, I'm sorry, and I love you, then you are reasoning like a child, and you are concluding like a child. Now remember, as long as you resolve conflicts that way, you're a child. You think as a child, you understand as a child, and you speak as a child. That by itself is bad enough. But when you stop to think that because of that, you are going to be under tutors and governors, and you're going to be a slave, even though you're the heir and the Lord of all. In other words, the things that you want, you deserve. You have a God-given desire to be in charge. You have a God-given desire to have your wife respect you and look up to you as an authority. That's a God-given desire. I'm not trying to take that away from you. But you see, if God gave you that desire without beating you to death, how come you want to give her the same desire by beating her to death? You see, if you're going to say, if you don't do that, I'm going to divorce your buns. Oh, I see. In order for you to respect me, you threaten me to take away something that's very important to me. Well then, is that the way God gave you the desire to be in authority? Why do you want to be in charge? Because God gave you that desire. He gave you that need. He gave you that authority. But he didn't threaten you with instant death if you didn't take it. So see, when it's a God-given desire, there's no threat. There's no coercion. There's no blackmail. There's none of that. Just a calm desire to do what's right. Now you have the desire now to be respected. You have a desire to have your wife look up to you. But here's the problem. The fact that she doesn't means that you are trying to force her to do something that God would do just like this if you get the hell out of the way. And by that I don't mean stop being the husband. Quit trying to force her to do what's right. You didn't get forced. Now we do it to children. Yeah, you put the child in the corner. But we shouldn't treat each other as adults in that way. So you see, when you became a man, you put away, or you should have put away, those childish things. But you didn't. Now, because some of you even now are having difficulty with this message, right now you're upset. And you think somehow that I've been spying on you. I'm telling you, if you have a problem, talk to Paul. He wrote the book of Galatians. I'm just repeating what he said. Look at verse 12 of chapter 13. Here's how a child looks at things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. The now being when you're a child, and the then when you become a man. Now, when you are a child, a retard, now I know in part, but then when you become a man, shall I know even as also I am known. So now what this basically saying says, for now, you as a child, not being in authority, you see through a glass darkly. Well, what does the word glass mean? A mirror. Now, who is your mirror? Your wife and your children. Now, you see through a glass. Now, when you look at that mirror, you say, your fault. You did it. But you forget something. The mirror shows you everything, and you see in the mirror just the reverse of how things really are. You look in the mirror and your right hand looks like it's on the left. Everything looks in the reverse. So when you look at your wife and you look at your children and you can see what's wrong, that's obvious. But you're seeing everything reversed. You're seeing through a mirror. You're not seeing it the way that it really is. You're seeing it backwards. Yes, it's true, there is no respect, but you're guilty of it. Yes, you're true, somebody's lying, it's you. Yes, you're right, somebody doesn't respect, you don't respect. But when you look in the mirror, you see things backwards. Now he says the child always looks through a glass darkly, a mirror with everything reversed. That's why things don't work for you. You think and you look at something and say, I think I ought to do this. You forget. You're seeing things reversed. So now he says, the problem is, as a child, you see things backwards. And I give you a mirror and you blame them for what's wrong with you. But when you become a man, you're going to see things face to face. You're going to see things just the way they are. And he says, now I know in part as a child, but then, and here's what it means, then shall I know even as also I am known. In other words, what this boils down to is you shall know that how people know you is how you are. What do you think? People sit at home and dream up things about you? First of all, you're not that important. All they're telling you is what they see. The word know means to be aware of and to perceive. But the word known means to become acquainted with. So here is basically what this means. I will become aware of myself by those that are acquainted with me. Now, what does the word acquainted mean? To cause to know personally. To be familiar with. In other words, the people that know you personally, how they know you is how you are. Now, here's the difficulty, because see, you know more about yourself than that individual or I or anybody but God. So this word acquaint comes from the word acquaintance. Now, an acquaintance is a person whom one knows, but not intimately. See, intimate things are between you and God. I'm his representative. You and I ought to be talking. Here's the problem. You moan and groan and complain to your wife. You're no longer an acquaintance. She knows things about you. She sees you at your worst. She sees you when you're romping and stomping and acting like Hitler. And now she knows more of you than she ought to know. Now, when she reflects that back to you, you get mad at her. Don't show her your anger tantrums. Don't show her your weakness and your wrong. I didn't say don't show it. I said don't show it to her. Now, you should show it. There's no question about that. But see, I've seen so much ugliness in my life, you can't scare me with it. See, a man does not seek help or sympathy from anyone but the Lord. And he has a representative on this earth to do it. See, you say, well, I go directly to the Lord. You liar. You go complain to your wife or your mommy. So you always end up going to a human being, except it's the wrong one. But you see, you should go to the Lord, his representative. Why? Because he is the only one who will not gossip or use this intimate knowledge against you in a disagreement. See, the more you show each other all this wrong and all these things that you're capable of, which you shouldn't do, you should show her just your good. She should show you just her good side. Didn't say you didn't have a wrong side. I said you should show that and expose and confess and get rid of it to the only person in this entire universe, it isn't going to use it against you the next time there's a disagreement. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ through his representative. But what happens is you show each other your absolute worst. And he or she holds that in their mind with a little bit of resentment and a little bit of a hurt heart, by the way. Which, that's a little high. It's really back here. Now, the next time there's a disagreement, and you're hurt. Now, the next time, and you wait like an animal, a jungle animal, you wait, purring, just waiting. Sooner or later, she's going to make a mistake. Boy, right away, Friday the whatever that idiot's name is, with the claws and the fangs right away. Now you become righteous. She finally made a mistake. She didn't do much, but man, now comes the wrath of God. Not for what she did, but for what you're holding back, because you remember. See, wives, you make a big mistake when you expose yourself to a child that way. Big mistake. I don't do it. There's been any number of times, and I can look around here now, where some of you have in the world done things that would have almost broken my heart. Things that you've said and done, I couldn't understand. I've done everything I can do to help you. And some of you, and some that aren't even here now, they spit in my face the minute they get everything they need and they're gone, and talk about me in the process on top of that. But I'm not showing them nothing. I go home and I say, Lord, I leave that up to you. You avenge me. So you see, they never see that. Because if they did, one day, whenever it's time and they want to have an excuse, they'd say, well, Reuben gets mad. Reuben gets hurt. Reuben said this. No, Reuben didn't. Reuben may have felt that, maybe he said it, but not to you. And he didn't gossip about you to anybody else. I went and told the Lord, I said, Lord, why'd they do that? He said, for the same reason that they crucified me. So I told him the truth. He said, now if you don't want him to do that, lie to him. Mm-mm. No, thank you. Now the end result of this thing is, and you can take this however you want. The fact of the matter is that you are known. You shall know you even as you are known. And if you are rude and obnoxious and critical and a know-it-all who's always blaming everyone else and showing that, don't get upset when people know you as, when you know you as you are known. See, because in the final analysis, they can't lie to you. In the final analysis, your wife has to be to you and to your children just the way you are to her. So ask yourself, really, how well, lady, do you get along with your kids? I mean, do they snap to you and say, yes, ma'am, yes, yes, mama dear, I'll do it right now, and then go do it? No. They could and they should, but they don't. Why not? Because that's the way you respond to your husband. Well, now, husbands, before you get too overflated, let me put a little hole in your bun. Let the air out. Why do you think she's that way? Because that's the way you are with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. You only come to him after you have screwed up things so bad that there's no way on this God's earth you can even attempt to correct it. And then after you make the mess, you come and say, here, Reuben, you be Lord of this. See what you can do with this. I would have rather had it when there was something to work with. Thank you. But you see, this individual just doesn't see. And I'm not criticizing you guys. I'm not. I'm telling you, you have a vision problem. I'm telling you that when you see your wife's behavior, your children's behavior, know that that's what's wrong with you. Don't look at it through a mirror and see it backwards. Look at your wife face to face. Look at yourself face to face. Get rid of the mirrors. Face to face will tell you exactly what it is. So if she's acting a certain way, it's because you act that way. If the children act a certain way, it's because you do. That's face to face. But when you look at the same thing, not face to face, but through a mirror, you'll see it backwards, and you'll say, she's wrong,
They're wrong, I'm right, and yet everything is messed up. You got to go home and break all your mirrors. And not only for spiritual reasons, by the way. See, I'm suggesting this to some of you, not just for spiritual reasons. Mirrors will just depress the hell out of you. You're ugly. And I'm not talking about physical beauty. I'm talking about the fact that you're constantly, like a child, trying to find fault in everything and everybody to justify you not changing. You just don't want to become responsible. You want God to treat you like an adult human being, but you insist on acting like a child. And a child has no control. A child can't control everything, not even their bowels. It's sad for a human being, a grown child of God, who's an heir of God, who's the Lord of all. And you know what else? And the final thrust of this thing, the final insult to you, and you see it again backwards, but you see this rude, obnoxious, cantankerous woman that you can't do a thing with. And these children that just lie to you and just connive. And then you see these same people, when I talk to them, become respectful and obedient. Now, what's the problem? Same wife, same child, different behavior. See, there's only one. See, before it was you, her, and them. Everything was wrong. Now you're out of it, still them, her, and me, and everything's right. So who was the problem? You. Now if your wife and your children treated me the same way they treat you, with the same amount of disrespect, with the same amount of conniving, then I would say you're right, brother, because I am doing it according to the word, and she still won't respect, she still won't obey, and neither will your kids. But that's not true. You can set up hoops here if you want, and I'll make your kids jump through them. Gladly. They'll ask me, which one now, Reuben? They'll fight each other to see who can jump through more and faster to please me. Why? Why do they do that? Because they have an inborn desire to please. They have a desire to love. They have a desire to be led. They have a desire as children. They want to be under an authority, someone who's strong and knows what they're doing. And that's not you. And you blame your children for that. You blame your wife for that. And then wives, you become even worse. Because knowing that you can be led by a strong individual, the minute he starts learning something and tries to be that strong individual, you'll say something stupid like, "Oh, you just think you're trying to be like Reuben." You damn right he is. Why don't you give him a break? That's exactly what he's trying to do. Now, why don't you come and say, "Well, you're just trying to be like Paul and Matthew." And I'll say, "That's right, lady, I am. They're not trying to be like me. They're trying to be like me. I'm trying to be like Paul and Matthew." And they were following Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit. And the Spirit was led by the Father. Now, why do you have a problem with that? The fact of the matter is, the minute your husband shows even an inclination of that direction, and you start doing the Zorro routine on him right away. Just got to cut him down to shreds, to bits, so he'll never have the desire again to take his leadership position. So you see, this is an evil spirit working on both sides, and there's no family unity without that. And I'll tell you something. Say, "Well, that's so hard. I'll go to your house, and I'll put you in the corner." I've done that. Now, I'm going to say something publicly that I've not said before. Some of you already know. There are adults in this room that I have said, "You go home and you go to bed without your supper tonight." And they went. Grown adult. And thanked me for it, by the way. They went home and went to bed without their supper. Now, don't tell me that individual is not willing to be led. I was right in what I did. I did it the right way and for her benefit, not for mine. I got no rest. I got nothing out of it. That was for her benefit. So she did it. There's another person sitting in this room, and I said, I want you to go to the corner and stay there for 1/2 hour. And don't even look out. Don't even look around. A grown woman. Now, that's an extreme. I understand. Don't go home and put your wife in the corner now. Please. But the point that I'm trying to make is that God will give the man the authority that if that's the only thing left and you don't do it in anger, you don't do it threatening, I said, that's what I want you to do. Now you have a choice. You can either obey or not obey. They were in that corner before you could do this. I didn't say, you better get in that corner, I'll never talk to you again, I'll never do this, and on top of that, you're out of the church, and besides that, you won't be my friend. I didn't do that. I said, you need to understand how authority works. And you need to understand that even though you're my friend, even though you're a member of the church, and this could cause our relationship to go out the window, the truth is still more important. And I'm not mad at you. I'm doing this for your benefit. But now that I've explained it to you, here's what I want you to do. Now, I know what you want to do. Now, you make the choice. Right to the corner. Right to bed. And afterwards, thank me for it. Because it's all right. You can do either one. I gave up my black boots and little mustache a long time ago. I don't need anybody hiring me. If the Lord Jesus Christ called me here and can't give me the authority and the ability to do the job, it's his problem, not mine. If the Lord called you to be a husband and a father, and you have to depend on your wife to do right and your children to do right before you can do right, then God is no God. And we might as well forget this. We might as well just have a barbecue every time we come here. See, the fact of the matter is you're looking through a glass darkly. And you won't look at it face to face. And you get upset when you are known, when you become aware of how you are known. Look at your children, because one day they'll be doing what you're doing now. I told that to a man one day. I said, sir, I said, you better stop resolving your conflicts this way. You better stop treating your wife and your child this way. I said, what are you going to do about it? I says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to warn you about it. And if you don't stop, you're going to be put in a place where you can't. He didn't stop, and he's history. You don't think for a minute that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to allow you to abuse his children. It is not going to happen. Don't you ever raise a finger at your wife. You make the biggest mistake on the face of this earth if you ever decide to do that. We got places for you. You'll go. I know what I'm telling you. I've warned people about this before, and they're gone now. Oh, well, I'd never do that. See, I know how it starts. It starts with outbursts of anger, but it doesn't stay there. It's like alcoholism. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and you start acting like a child. When that happens, your marriage is going to go, and God is going to protect his own, and I don't even have to lift a finger. I don't have to do anything. Just speak the word. Powerful words. Powerful words for people that had never took any direction whatsoever, and I said, I think you ought to go to the corner. I think you ought to go to bed without your dinner today. And sleep, by the way. Don't just lay there. Sleep. I said, Lord, is that really me talking? I didn't know what to expect. See, I'm learning as we go along, too. I can tell you now, I was rather amazed, pleasantly, that they did exactly and loved the situation. Now, that's powerful words. Now, if God will give me the authority just by speaking the truth, not in anger and not in emotion, and he backs up his word, my God, how much authority would you have? You're the husband. You're the father. You're the guy that's there every minute of the day. If God gives me that kind of authority, what would he do with you? The fact of the matter is, you're upset because you don't want to change, and the way your children are acting is the way that you're acting. That's why when people do things to me, they say, Reuben, why don't you get upset? Oh, I used to a long time ago. You see, people always would come, and the things that would upset me was the things that I was guilty of. And it would make me upset. Now, it isn't that they say, well, Reuben, are you perfect now? You don't do it. No, I used to hold things in. I used to play the denial game like all of you. Now, every morning I'd get up and I clean the blackboard, like we used to go to school. Remember all the little twerps, the apple shiners? I used to hate those. Can I shine the board for you? Suckers were already getting A's. They already had brains coming. They wanted to shine the board, too. I used to hate those people. I know now why. See, I was one of these sharpies, see. See, I had a different mentality. Oh, I used to get B's and B pluses. But see, here, that wasn't my thing. Getting B's and B, that wasn't my thing. I had this idea, I'm going to do it without ever taking a book home, without ever doing any homework. I'm going to do it all just by learning, sitting in class and in study hall. I had made up my mind, I'm taking no books home, no time, and no place. And I said, well, where are you going? What do you do? All the other kids have books, don't you? No, I already did mine. Oh, yeah, I got passing grades, and I did well. But what could I have done had I lived up to the rules and done and reached my full potential? I don't know. Thank God that I did. Maybe I'd have been a rocket scientist, and I wouldn't be here now. Or some kind of a criminal. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that none of us ever reach our potential when we decide, I'm going to do it my way. And the fact that I had enough God-given ability to keep the teacher happy and my parents off my back so that I could do it my way wasn't a blessing. It was a curse. Because later on, I found that doing it my way was no good. And I lived 5 years like a pauper until I realized, got to do it the Lord's way, or it's not going to work. It's time to grow up, guys. It's just that simple. See, Jesus, the truth is in the temple, says this is the kind of thinking we've got to clear up. Because you see, right now we're going to start, the very next message, we're going to start the attempt. Now the truth is working now. They can't be denied now. Jesus cleaned out the temple. You can't say it's not true. You can't say he's not right. You can't say he didn't peg me right, that he doesn't know about me. I got you pegged. The truth has you. There's only one thing you can do now. Two things, actually. You're going to do one or the other because the truth is now in here. You're either going to agree with it or you're going to crucify it. Just like they did to Jesus. And that's a frightening thought because we're getting to the point now where you're going to have to say yes to the truth or you're going to have to say no. And that's the same thing as crucifying Jesus Christ all over again. And I'm going to prove it to you how you do it daily. I'm going to prove it to you that when the truth comes and you get angry and upset and you want to talk and you don't want to hear and you let your emotions, you have just crucified the truth. You've made the truth of none effect. You've taken the power away. You've nailed it to the cross. Crucify means to make helpless, to make of none effect. The truth doesn't work. I don't want to hear it. I'm upset. You made me mad. You just crucified the truth. Because the fact of the matter is, you're Lord. The fact of the matter is, if you'd have handled it right, everybody would have got in order and the thing would have been handled perfectly. But you decided to crucify the truth instead. I'm going to prove to you how that happens. But see, now I thank God the cobwebs are out of there. Now you can hear. Now you can understand. What decision you make with the truth is your business. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to make one or the other. You're either going to agree with it or you're going to crucify the truth. But see, some would say, well, so what? I'll tell you so what. The ones that decided to crucify the truth, 3 days later, the truth was staring them right in the face, and then the truth judged them. You go ahead and think you know what you're doing. 3 days later, you'll know you didn't. 3 days later, the results of the decision that you made will be staring you right in the face. Why? Because God Almighty resurrects the truth. You can't crucify it and keep it down. You can say right now, hell no, I'm not going to do it. I don't agree. I don't understand. I don't want to do it. That's fine. But you can only do that for 3 days. And in 3 days, the Father is going to resurrect the truth. And you're going to say, my God, it was right. And you're going to know 3 days. But see, afterwards, the truth judges you. Right now, you judge the truth. Pilate and all of them had the ability, Judas, all of them had the right to judge the truth. They made the wrong decision. 3 days later, Jesus came back and judged them. Ask them now. You won't ever see Judas, I thank you, but I can tell you, he's not too happy right now. He is not a happy camper right now. And he's looking at that camping situation for eternity. Because he judged the truth, and now the truth came back to judge him. Man, you don't want to be in that situation. But you can take it or leave it. You can hear it later from someone else, or you can take it now. It's really up to you. Brother Brad Rogers, would you close the services in prayer?